Hello, Saints from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This is Micah from the Two LDS Archives, and today I have a very unique video. I've actually recorded a couple of these videos. I've only ever uploaded one of them. I will record off-the-cuff videos, and I will show them to my scribe, as she's now called, or my wife. And sometimes my wife will go, "Yeah, no, we're not going to post that." Other times she does post it, like my thoughts on conference. She thought that was good and allowed me to post that. But anyway, so we're going to do another one of these off-the-cuff kind of videos here because something transpired. I watched a video, okay? I watched a video today because this is what I do when I'm homeschooling and I'm going around. I'll have videos playing in the background. I'll typically put them at 1.5 speed so I can listen through them. In the background when something's going on, something else is going on. As you homeschool, you're not always involved in everything. You'll tell your son, okay, we're gonna practice these letters of A's and B's. A's going through them, and so I have a chance to go and listen to something else in the background. And I like it playing. I can just click play so that way I don't have to waste time. So that if I come back in the room, I can click play and I can just go right back at it. That way I don't have to. And then when I think, okay, all done with these letters, okay, I pause, I go back in, we talk a bit, I'll flip the letters, whatever. This gives me a time to do that. And so I'm watching one of these videos today, and it just blew me away at just how prophetic. And by the way, prophetic is not a term that only applies to the prophet. Prophetic is when somebody says something and it comes out to be true. And it is said by the spirit of prophecy or with the scriptures. And in this case, it's all of the above. How prophetic the words of President Joseph Ealing Smith were when he said that quote that I've read a million times where he said, if you don't understand the revelations that have been given, if you don't understand this, that when you're introduced to other things, you won't have the distinguishing spirit to be able to tell what's false and what's real, and it's going to screw you up. And I was watching this video today by this LDS YouTuber that pops up in my feed. And so I go, okay, I'll check it out. I'll check this out. I'll check out LDS YouTubers one or two or three times before I get an idea of what they're actually preaching, what's actually going on here. And so I'll give this person a shot. Let's hear what this person has to say. Because the name of the video, the name of the YouTuber was An Unruffled Heart. And the video was about the hinge point, and I thought, oh, this is great, because I actually have talked about this. I've actually talked about this. So I talked about this in my August 15, 2020 video. I've talked about this concept of this hinge point that I thought was coming up and what I thought it would be. So it's a concept that's really interested me, so I thought, okay, this would be a good one. Let's listen to it. And it blew me away how everything that I said in Before You Begin Your Last Days, A Timeline Journey, everything that I talked about in Understanding Points of Reference, everything that I talked about with if members don't understand basic definitions, they will fall into traps. Just like President Joseph Ealing Smith said, if you don't understand certain doctrine, if you haven't taken the time to read the scriptures, when you get introduced to this garbage, you're not going to be able to discern stuff. You know, Kaylin actually is one of my least talkative children of the three. Even my baby talks more than Kaylin. But as soon as I start talking in a microphone, she comes over and wants to be a part of it. So I'm a little worried about that. I think she might have a little stardom, and I don't like that. But anyway, so I'm watching this video, and this individual goes through this process of receiving revelation that is spot on. The spirit is teaching her something with regard to a hinge point, and it's in a way that she'd be able to understand it in what's called the plot diagram. Now, this is just something that I Googled. You can find that I found a couple of these that I'm going to go over. It's not something unique to her. This is something that's and the terms are roughly the same, but I've heard multiple terms, and then so I wanted to show you that here. And she had this realization that, and then I've done one, I've done a rough one here. Okay, she had this realization that this right here, this conflict, could be the hinge point of what President Nelson was talking about. And I said, when President Nelson said the hinge point is coming up, I said that I knew what that was going to be, and I was telling people back at that time, years before it happened, that the Assyrian, or the Desolating Sickness, the Assyrian, the test, these things were now going to be here. And then they hit. She started off with this diagram and this understanding, and that's the spirit. The spirit was working, and it was teaching her line upon line, precept upon precept. But then she said, okay, but now what is the climax, okay? And then everything fell apart. And the reason why everything fell apart from that point on is because she stopped listening to the spirit, and she started regurgitating on the spirit, on this diagram, what she had been taught by the philosophies of men, that these keyless individuals opining stuff online with absolutely no factual background to back it up, with no understanding of macro last day timelines, with no references to back those things up, okay? And then she took that and said, okay, based off of this knowledge that I have from these people, and she talks about in the video, she says you can go on to her channel, click on the playlist, and you can see these individuals that she's talking about. And you click on her list, and you see the ones there, and philosophies of men come screaming to mind. This is not the doctrine. This is not the doctrine. Okay, we go over the doctrine of what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints teaches, and we go over that in the Macro Last Day Timeline series. We know what certain things need to happen. But she was listening to these people. And because she was listening to these people and had that knowledge in her head, she didn't go to the Lord and say, okay, what would be the next thing? What would fit in here? She instead took what these people had taught and regurgitated it onto this diagram, and it didn't make sense. It didn't make sense. And the reason for that is because she stopped asking questions. The Lord had led her to this point in time in all truth, and then she instead assumed that she had the answer. And these aren't my words, these are her words. She says, because I'm now putting on what these people know, because these people know more than me. Okay? These people. She didn't say the prophets and apostles. She said, these YouTubers know more than me. She didn't quote anything. She said, these YouTubers know more than me. And so I'm going to regurgitate what they have on here. Okay, so I felt so passionate about this, I thought, okay, I'm going to record a video. I'm going to record a video that we can talk about this, and let's ask some real questions about it. Because I've already talked about this, like I said, in the August 15, 2020 video. So what is the plot diagram? Okay, it's story, plot map, plot definitions. It's all the same thing, right? Different variations of exactly the same thing. I think this person did this in paint, so this person's right after my own heart. Okay, so how do you tell a story? Like, how do you write a story? Okay, well, you start with the opening, the introduction, the exposition. They call it beginning, exposition, introduction. See, that's what I use. Inciting, incident doesn't actually occur here. That should be more over here. Exposition. So that's what you get at the beginning here. The background, maybe that's another word for it. Okay, so you introduce the thing. Okay. Then what you end up having is you have a point right here in the story. Okay, this is called the inciting incident, or it's called initiating event, or it's called the inciting incident should be over here. It's also called the point of conflict, and that's the one I've typically heard of. You hit this, or inciting moment, or the conflict starts at this point in time. And then what you end up have is a series of rising actions. And then we build to the climax. Okay? What? And the rising actions, another way of you could say that is development, so how things develop. But there's also some good things that people say. This is the problem of the story. This is the struggle of the main characters. the main characters. This includes the events leading up to the main problem or conflict. Okay? Then we have the climax. This is when the problem reaches a high point. Okay? This is the highest level of conflict in the story. The most emotional, suspenseful part of the story. The turning point. Okay? Where the solution to the problem is introduced. Now think about this. Now that you know the last day timeline events, the macro, now that you understand that, I'm hoping that you're going, oh, I know what that is. I know exactly what that's talking about. The turning point where the solution to the problem is introduced, I know what that's referring to. Okay? Climax is another way of saying it. Or the middle, that's what you have here. Then after that, you have what's called the falling action, or there's another one here that says the series of event where the plot begins to simmer down and the conflict is ending. Give a minimum of two events. Well, that's a little story. This is when the characters work to solve the problem or conflict. Okay? That's another way of looking at that, okay? So this is when the problem reaches the high point. So this is when the solution is arrived at, and then this is when things are solved. Then we have the resolution. This is how things end up in the story. The loose ends are tied up. Think about that. The loose ends are tied up. Okay? I think that's all of them. That is this rough story. Now, if you, and this is if you want to check out our video, it's called The Unruffled Heart, Hinge Point. I would recommend going over and watching it, but I would not recommend going over and saying mean things in the comment section. Or even, frankly, don't even go over and say truthful things in the comment section. It will just be conskewed or miscued or misjudged as conflict, and they'll just use it against you. But follow the Spirit. The Spirit tells you to do it, do it. The Spirit told me maybe you should actually instead show people what would she have arrived at if she arrived at the correct assumption. Okay, so she goes, oh, okay, what is the President Nelson talking about when he says the rising action? Or the conflict, I'm sorry. So what is he saying when he's talking about this hinge point? And then this comes to her mind. This is what she thinks about. Okay, and then the Lord says, think of it in terms like this. Now, what can you learn from this? Okay, and her next action was, okay, I believe what? I believe that the sixth seal has already been opened. The seventh seal has already been opened. I believe that Salt Lake City is the new Jerusalem. I believe all of these things have already happened. And I've bought into the philosophies and what men are opining online. And women. That's a general term. So then she spews that onto this and it doesn't make sense. What she should have done, or what let's do here, is let's ask some questions. What is the macro last day timeline? What do we know is going to happen? Not all Micah's opinions. What do we know? We have prophets of God who have said that we know these series of events. We know what? There's the events surrounding Adam on Diamond. Okay? There are those events, those second comings of the Savior. Go back to the macro last day timeline part one. The second thing we know is that the Lord appears suddenly in his temple. Then we have the events to the Jews. And then we have the great and dreadful day. Those are the four. Okay? Now, if she's already believed or bought into the idea that literally 75% of those events have already happened, what would that leave as the only thing to build up to the climax to? The great and dreadful day. So she puts the great and dreadful day at the climax. But does that make sense? No, that doesn't make sense. Now let's go back to this and let's just read some of this again, okay? Okay, first and foremost, This includes the events leading up to the main problem or conflict. This kickstarts the plot. Okay? This is building up to the problem. Okay, what happens here? Highest level of conflict in the story, the most emotional or suspenseful part of the story, and the turning point where the solution to the problem is introduced. Okay? When does that take place? When is this? Not only that, I want you to look at this. Now, Brother Hiram Anders always used to refer to this event as putting the capstone on. Now, think about that. Okay, what event is this? What is the highest level of conflict? In fact, what did Isaiah say? Isaiah said, at this time, it'll get even to the neck. That's what it says. And here's the other thing. Are we talking about, what's the most important part of the story? What's the most important part of the story? Okay, if we're talking about in Lord of the Rings, we're talking about Gimli, and we're talking about Frodo, what's the most important part of the story? Okay, is it that the dwarfs were having some battle on the other side of the planet? And you say, well, no. Okay, then why would you put the events at Old Jerusalem at the climax? You would put, what is the highest level of conflict for? The Lord's people. The Lord's people. His kingdom. Okay, so what would that be? The highest level of conflict in the story, the most emotional or suspenseful part of the story, the turning point. What do we know? We know that the Lord goes on the offense at what point in time? He goes on the offense at the anointing. That's when the Lord goes on the offense. This is New Jerusalem. This is putting the capstone on. Okay? Then the Lord goes on the offense. But let's take a step back even further. This is the series of events as the conflict is ending in the world. Okay, another person said something else that was interesting. This is when the characters work to solve the problem or conflict. Okay, that's another way of saying that. And then this down here, this is how things end up in the story. Now, here's another question. If the great and dreadful day happened here, what happens directly after it? It's over. It's over. Everyone everyone in the story gets wiped out. That's evil. Okay, that's the great and dreadful day. Another person said here, this is how loose ends are tied up. Okay, so if you are looking at this, where should the great and dreadful day be? The great and dreadful day should be here. Okay? Now, why is that? This is when things get wrapped up. This is the great and dreadful day. Now, we know what? There's four different appearances, right? Okay, so we can say what? We can say this is too far up, but we can say this is the last appearance. This is the fourth appearance. This is the great and dreadful day. Okay, what about up here? What is this? This would be New Jerusalem. Okay. What else? What else would this be? What else would this be? Okay, this would be the sign of the Son of Man, right? This would be actually when the seventh seal was open. Right? This is when Christ is crowned that all nations should serve him. Now think about that. Are all nations serving him at this time? No. When do they? By the great and dreadful day. Okay? That's when all of this takes place at the climax here to the New Jerusalem. Okay? That's what we have. The falling actions. Now, what would be considered the falling actions? This is how the Lord wraps up his story. Okay? We know that he wraps up his story with the trumpets blowing, the seven trumpets. In fact, people like to say that the great or the Mount of Olives is its own appearance. It is, but more specifically, it's actually the seventh trumpet. It's actually the seventh thing listed. Whoops. The seventh vial, the plague, it's actually the third woe in Revelation. So we learn about the first four, and then there's the last three, the woe, woe, woe. The last of the three is actually here. Okay? After that, we have... So this is the Mount of... This is the Mount of Olives, right? That's part of the cleanup, right? In fact, there's a little bit more of a space here. So maybe I can move this a bit. What did I just do? There's actually a little bit more of a space here. So maybe I can do that up here. Because, you know, we know there's a period of time after the Mount of Olives, right? So we actually have here this... would be the Mount of Olives, okay? This is when Christ, right? Christ appears to fleeing Jews, okay? That's when this takes place. Now, if you don't believe in this, you're going to have to disregard literally almost 200 years of established Latter-day Saint theology. Okay, this is what happens here. This is the second, the third, fourth. Okay, the fourth appearance is a series of appearances. Okay, a series of appearances that occur from this point onward. Okay, in the rising action. Okay, this from this point on to this point. This is when we know that there will be appearances of the Lord. We know that that this happens from here to here. Okay? This is how it looks. Okay? And why do we know that the conflict starts this off? And why do they know it was the desolating... I can't figure out the colors. But why do we know that it was the desolating sickness? Right? I thought I solved that. Why do we know it was the desolating sickness? It's not going to work. Why do we know it was the desolating sickness? Right? Because the desolating sickness, gives rise to the scourge. Well, I think there's an E there. Or the Assyrian. I cannot see this. Right? We know the desolating sickness gives rise to the scourge or the Assyrian. A lot of members don't know what the Assyrian is. Just think of robbers, okay, Gadianton robbers, and hopefully that will help you understand that a little better. So this is the desolating sickness, which gives rise to the scourge, right, or the Assyrians and the robbers coming to power, right? Right? So that's... when this conflict starts. And that's why when he said this is going to be the hinge point, I said, well, if it is the hinge point, it's going to be the conflict. It's going to be the desolating sickness, which gives rise to the scourge of the Assyrian, or the Gannon robbers. Another way you can think of that, because a lot of members don't know what the Assyrian is. They haven't done their due diligence in citing Isaiah, and them coming to power. Okay. Then we have these series of rising problems. Okay. This is what? What is this, guys? This is the trib tribulation. Okay? This is the tribulation period. This is the test, right? This is part of that same a turning point here, right? I'll write it here. A test. Okay, that happens here. Then what do we have? Right? We have the return of Joseph Smith. Right? We have the redemption of Zion. And then we have building of New Jerusalem. Right? Then we have the return of the lost 10 tribes. Okay? That's part of this right here. Hopefully I can scoot this over a bit. There. Okay? That's what takes place here. Okay? We hit the climax. That's when they get to the neck. Things fall down. And we go from there. But see, if you had stopped and you had said, okay, I understand macro last day timelines. I understand 1, 2, 3, and 4. And obviously you can go back further here and you can notice some introductions, right? Right? There's some things that can build up before this. Right? Where you could go as far back as to say the restoration, you know, was here. You could include, as I've said, the Lamanites blossoming as a rose, the times of the Gentiles being ended. This is all part of this building and setting the groundwork. And as the Savior said, when you see this, when you see the Lamanites blossoming as a rose, know that this is about to take place. Okay? That's like sickness can rise as a scourge of the Assyrian. This right here is actually, which a lot of people are going to, it's going to make them really upset because they don't understand, is that this is actually when the seven seals or the sixth seal is opened and the sixth seal events take place. Okay? The sixth seal events take place in this rising conflict. And maybe I should also say here that so people don't immediately lose their mind, this could be a period of 7 years. Okay? And I go over that in the macro last day timelines due to Joseph in Egypt being sold into Egypt was a type. We learned that in Ether chapter 13. Okay, so we have this period of 7 years here, and then we have the seventh seal being opened here. People need to stop thinking of the seals as 1,000-year periods. What's contained in the books is 1,000-year periods. That's not what John has shown when the seals are opened, as far as Joseph Smith taught. Now, if you want to believe that, you know, that Joseph Smith was wrong, okay, that's on you. But Joseph Smith taught this so clearly, it cannot be miscued. You have to just say, no, I don't believe in Joseph Smith. And by the time we get to the 1980s, this began to be muddied a little bit with people such as Elder Bruce R. McConkie. But if you go back to Joseph Smith, and I've done a bunch of my videos, and read what actually Joseph Smith said, this is crystal clear. Okay, this is not how these things take place. Okay, so this rising here is the sixth seal. Then we have the opening of the seventh seal here, and then it goes down. Now, here's something else that I want everyone to realize with the beauty of this. This is another form of writing as far as Hebrew history, as far as church history, as far as you go to the Bible, the Book of Mormon. There's something called a chiasm. Okay, chiasm is done exactly the same way. You build to a point, you build back, and what ends up happening? The way you build up is also the way you build back. And the point was the climax up here. That's how you do a chiasm. Okay, well, if you go to Blake from Defending Zion, if this video gets posted, there's something else you need to think about here. If you drew a line right here, okay, down the middle, okay, what would this look like? What would this look like? This is the mirror principle, okay? So what do you have? You have the intro, everything goes up, the conflict, which we have now just hit, So the desolating sickness gives rise to the scourge of the Assyrian, the robbers. We have the rising action during the sixth seal. We have all of these events that have not transpired. We have President Nelson saying that famine, pestilence, you know, these are events that are in our future. These are events tied to pre-seventh seal, not post-seventh seal. The events that take place after the seventh seal is open, when these horns begin to blow, are totally different. And I go over that in my understanding Revelations, understanding. I go over it in a lot of my videos. But not just me talking. I provide all the references. So you can go see this for yourself. But what I want to get at here on this really long video, because now I have to wrap this up because kids are now ready to move on, is this. That if you had gone to the Lord the entire time, you hadn't gone to LDS YouTubers, you hadn't gone to the philosophies of men, that this is where you would have ended up. This is how you would have, because even if you just asked the simplest of questions, like, when are the loose ends tied up? Are the loose ends, where are they tied up? When does this happen? It happens on the Great and Dreadful Day. Okay, the highest level of conflict of the story is the Great and Dreadful Day. The Great and Dreadful Day occurs long after the Mount of Olives. I mean, the events at Old Jerusalem and the events surrounding the New Jerusalem have immense levels of conflict. There's absolutely no conflict listed by the Great and Dreadful Day. None. There's peace in Zion. There's peace in the New Jerusalem. And there's peace over in the Old Jerusalem. They will see eye to eye, and there will be safety found in Old Jerusalem and New Jerusalem. Joseph Smith says, during this time period, that plagues and pestilence and natural disasters will be poured out upon the heathen nations until they come to Zion and repent and join the program, or they're wiped out, culminating in the Great and Dreadful Day, at which point in time all loose ends are tied up. Okay? So even if you just had a, if you said, okay, I'm not going to put my beliefs on it, when does the resolution occur? The Great and Dreadful Day is when that happens. If you go, when was the climax? You might initially say, well, maybe it's the events at the Mount of Olives. But then you'd go, okay, that's not right either, because that's not a turning point either. That's not the turning point. Right? And so even just a basic level asking before you have you throw on, you know, what you've learned from other people who frankly don't know what they're talking about, you lose the spirit. You lose that ability to continue on. Right? And the second thing is, the thing on top of that is, do you understand common definitions? Do you understand when I say, or when the prophets say, New Jerusalem and Zion, do you know what they're talking about? When they talk about the redemption of Zion, do you know what they're talking about? Do you know when they're talking about Jackson County? Do you know what they're talking about? When they say the Mount of Olives and Jesus splitting it in half, do you know what they're talking about? When they say the Great and Dreadful Day, do you know what they're talking about? When they talk about Adam on the Almond, do you know what they're talking about? Do you know how these are different events clearly talked about? And if you don't know what the definitions are, you're going to get confused going in. And so I pray that members will heed the prophetic counsel given by President Joseph Ewing Smith and echoed by myself, that you need to go back to the scriptures and understand the scriptures and what the doctrine of the church has been and still is for going on 2 centuries. Going on 200 years. This doctrine hasn't changed. Learn the doctrine, learn those things, and then transcribing them onto something such as this will make a lot more sense. But this is what I said in my understanding points of reference. I said, if somebody doesn't know the difference between snow on the ground and a sunny day, 90 degree day, and leaves falling off of a tree. If people don't know the difference between those different things, would you trust them when they're trying to explain to you the seasons? when they're trying to put stuff in places. Would you trust that? And the answer would be no, because they don't know what happens in fall. If they don't know what happens in spring, if they don't know what happens in summer, how would they be able to tell you the seasons? How would they be able to do that? The answer is they would not be able to do that accurately. So once again, go back to the keys, go back to the scriptures, read them yourselves, and once you have that foundation, then, as President Joseph Fielding Smith taught, then you will have the discerning spirit to be able to separate things from right to wrong. Then you'll be able to have that. Then you'll be able to have that. And this is just one of those examples that I thought, this is exactly what I've been talking about since August 15th, 2020, this hinge point here. Okay? This is a hinge point. Okay? This is it. And we are arriving at this point in time. We're arriving at this point in time. This is the hinge point. This is what's next. I testify of that. I testify of the power of the scriptures. If you go back and read them, go back and read the words of Orson Pratt. Go back and read the words of Joseph Smith. Go back and read the words of Brigham Young. Go back and read the words of Joseph Fielding Smith. This doctrine has not changed in 200 years. Okay? Don't buy in to the progressive dogma and the those influences infesting the church. The doctrine hasn't changed. Be believing. We are building up to the climax. We are building up to the climax. And I would also recommend, if you haven't already, see my breakdown of that talk by President Russell M. Nelson, where even in that talk, President Russell M. Nelson talks about the New Jerusalem being a future event. It's a future event. President Eyring, when he gave his talk, Sisters in Zion, he said, you and the daughters you have raised, your granddaughters that you have raised, will take part in the building of that city. Once again, a future event. Okay? These events here, this is, as always, I've said this all the time, but this is Revelation chapter 7. This is Daniel chapter 7. Okay? That's where these things take place. Please, brothers and sisters, learn the doctrine and then share it with people. Share the truth with people. And if they're not going to accept your words, if they're not going to accept this video, right? Because maybe they hate me. Fine. You know where these scriptures are. You know where these quotes are. I provide them for you. Go send them these quotes. Send them these words. You don't have to rely on persuasive power. Present the doctrine to them in plainness and honesty, and the elect will hear it. The non-elect won't comprehend it. Okay? That's the simple truth. God bless you. Godspeed. I love you. Keep the faith. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.